Okay, I would like to introduce today's presenter. Joe Stankner is, he's going as an opinionated misfit geek today for the Microsoft Corporation. And again, the title of today's MSDN webcast is Interoperability Between PHP and the Windows Platform. This is the first part of a two-part series. Joe, you now have the floor.
Super. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Great to see the interest. We've got about 320 people with us today from around the world. A couple of adjustments. The first thing I'd like to do is encourage you to use the question manager throughout the session today. So I've broken this talk up into two sessions, half today and half tomorrow. And one of the reasons is I really want to be able to take time to answer all the questions that you have. And I didn't want to I wanted to be able to answer those questions myself rather than somebody else to answer the questions online. So feel free to use the question manager, and throughout the talk, I'll periodically pop over there and pick your question. The other thing is, if you look at the slide that's being displayed at the moment, my blog www.joeon.net. There's a links to a whole bunch of training sites as well as links to several of the tools that I use that I show in the demos, and then later on today I'll post a link to the PowerPoint deck as well as all of the other things that I show you today. So with that, first, just to do a little level setting, I want to ask you to click on this survey and let me know if you were here on the webcast yesterday. And I'll just give that just a couple of minutes, if you can take time to click one of those. So, okay, so more than half of you were here, so that's awesome. So just to do some level setting, for those of you that weren't here on the webcast yesterday and are here today to defend PHP, you won't have to defend PHP from me. I'm sort of the PHP advocate inside Microsoft and think that PHP has some benefits. I'm always asked, and I never give a direct answer, is which is better, ASP.NET or PHP? I think they're both great, and I make the choice of which to use based on the kind of work that I'm going to do. But Microsoft doesn't hate PHP. I have a great relationship with the guys at Zend, Andy Goodman's in particular. We have, although we don't have a formal partnership at this point, we have ongoing conversations, and hopefully those conversations will result in continuing to improve the PHP experience on Windows. It's also sort of a misnomer that Microsoft hates open source. We like open source. We're just not fans of the GPL per se. So this is the sort of my mantra for multi-platform type stuff. That good information doesn't displace other good information. So just so you understand a little bit about where I'm coming from is I do PHP work. I have public websites running based on PHP, community stuff, and part of the reason I do this stuff is I really want your feedback. So I gave you my email address at the beginning, and I'll do it again at the end. But I'm going to ask you several questions during the presentation. But I also want you to feel free to send me email and engage me on what types of things as PHP developers working with Windows in your infrastructure, what kinds of things do you need, or what kinds of things do you find difficult? I want to ask just a couple more questions, and then we'll get on with the content. All right. So if you can let me know, what do you primarily develop on? Not deploy on, but develop on. I'm going to give that just and the results are shown, so you guys can see what folks are saying. I'm just chuckling at folks commenting on my title of opinionated misfit geek, which is my official title, I think, now at Microsoft. I'm going to put it on my business card. Okay, so it looks like the vast majority of folks develop on Windows, and that tends to be what I see in the field. Let's also vast majority develop on Windows, but now for the other half of the question, where do you primarily deploy your PHP applications? And this generally is not the has a different ratio, right? And I these polls are for my edification, but also for your interest, because as you're seeing here, the vast majority of PHP developers actually develop on Windows, but deploy. In the deployment scenario, it's a pretty even mix between Windows and Linux, with some of the other with other operating systems being a distant third. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is the PHP on Windows experience. And moving on in topics, we're going to look at interop from two perspectives. One, interop between PHP and ASP.NET applications. And then towards the end of this two-part series, we're going to look at strategies to use COM and use .NET from PHP code. So I think, my personal opinion is, although historically there's been this idea that if you're a PHP developer, you're not developing on Windows, I actually think that the Windows operating system offers us as PHP developers a lot of pre-built functionality that we might want to take advantage of. So I want to show you first a few resources that I recommend that a lot of folks tend to tell me that they don't know about. The first is this book. This book was written by Andrew Stotford, and it's the only currently published book that specifically addresses PHP programming on Windows. It's a little bit old, but I want to let you know about it. Take down the information. Right, so, and I'll post links to all these books on my blog as well. The other one that I want you to know about on the PHP side is this web services book. This one is actually out of print now, but it's there are only a couple of PHP web service books that are specific to web services, and this is the one that I prefer. And in tomorrow's half of the talk, we're going to do a little bit of web services work. The other book that I want to let you know about is a Microsoft book, but it's .NET Web Services. And I want to recommend that you pick up this book because one of the challenges of interop between .NET Web Services and PHP Web Services, depending on what stack you're using to implement, is understanding things like the difference between XML RPC and document literal, different formats. So Keith Ballinger, who was one of the original architects of Microsoft's web services strategy, wrote this book, and it gives a great discussion, not so much .NET centric, but it gives a good discussion around the differences in web service technology and why to choose certain, one thing over another. So, and someone's asking for the ISBN number. I'll post all that stuff up on the up on my blog later today. So, why I program on why I use PHP? There's a plethora of cool applications out there that are already written. My personal favorite, PHP Nuke, and I know that a lot of PHPers sort of ding PHP Nuke because it's had some security problems. I haven't found it that difficult to secure, and I've got I'm just rebuilding a site. I used to be a kickboxer, and I train kickboxers, and I have a website, uskickboxing.com, that I'm just re-implementing online. But I had like 1.7 million visitors last year, and I did have some successful attacks. But then once I tweaked up the security, I never got another breach. But if you look at all of these things, there are lots of applications that solve needs and don't need to be rewritten, right? But on the Windows side, there's a lot of candid technology that's available as well. If you look at all the standard Office products, things like Live Meeting, Commerce Server, Project Server, MapPoint, which is fully available as a web service, Application Center, stuff like Virtual Earth, the Identity Server, and here's another stack, right? So things like Active Directory. IIS offers some really interesting opportunities for developers in any language, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time showing you that. Small Business Manager, CRM. The cool thing about this whole stack of technologies is that you can choose one, and you can be assured that there's a programmatic API that's either COM or .NET or both. And contrary to popular belief, COM is not dead. It's still there and alive and well under the covers. So we'll look at that. So there are some things that that PHP isn't specifically tuned to do. So one of the things for me is I like the idea of being able to build and deploy binary components, which PHP doesn't really support. Now, you can write custom extensions, so you can write, you know, a pair extension in PHP, but if you want to get out of the PHP sandbox, as it were, then you need to do that in the form of C. And there's good prescriptive guidance in the form of open source PECL extensions, but still the skill set required is pretty different. Right, so you might want to do that, particularly for middle tier. And here's just sort of, if you think a little bit about each of these, there are some things that you might want to use .NET for and call from your PHP code. One of the ones that I've been having real success with is that ASP.NET natively supports asynchronous web service calls. So one of the cool things that I've been playing with is to proc up an object from my PHP code that asynchronously calls several web services and then aggregates the results and returns the aggregated result set back to my PHP code for parsing and display. And of course, I mean, if you're a PHP developer, this is not new to you, but there's an amazing ecosystem out there for PHP developers. There's a great ecosystem for ASP.NET developers, but in my opinion, in the PHP world, there's just more source code that's available. There's just more, there's just more starting blocks. So on the Windows ecosystem, and this is where it's sort of I shoot for best of both worlds. So not sort of suffering from the the myopic perspective of either sort of singularly focused Microsoft folks or singularly focused open source folks. I like to pick the best of breed on either side of that fence. On the Microsoft ecosystem side, there's 600,000 partners. Microsoft makes a lot of products, and this is sort of the whole argument around vendor lock-in for me just sort of doesn't wash. That I like the ability to be able to choose functionality based on that functionality. The nice thing about all of Microsoft's product offerings is that they all have either COM or .NET interfaces. So you can choose to use a Microsoft product, or you can choose to use any third-party product. But if it runs on Windows, it's likely to have a COM or .NET interface. So another thing to note is relative to federated logic using XML web services, Microsoft is making huge investments in the interoperability standards like the web services technology. And if you're interested in that, there's a joint effort it was originally funded primarily by IBM and Microsoft, but there are several hundred members now that are participating in this consortium, and you can find them at the ws-i.org. All right, so moving on towards the technology, right? As our survey result showed, PHP developers work on Windows. PHP pretty much is PHP from a code level perspective. There are operating system specific extensions, and we're gonna look at some of those over the course of today and tomorrow. Zend is making Windows specific investments, and we're gonna talk about some of the perceptions around PHP on Windows as it pertains to performance and reliability, and as it compares with PHP on Linux. And there's some interesting third-party stuff that's coming up as well, and I'll show you some of that. But the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about PHP on IIS. And this is IIS 6, but there are a couple things to remember. So first of all, PHP will run on any version of IIS, and there are several different ways that we can do that. We can do it either as a CGI, as an IFAPI, or which is a direct server extension, or as a or using some third-party solutions, and we'll talk about that performance in particular. But one of the things that's interesting for me is that IIS offers some advantages. So I'm a huge fan of. I'm just looking at questions as I'm talking here, and John asks, "What is IIS?" IIS is Internet Information Server. So if you're a Linux developer, the web server that you're using is Apache. You can run Apache on Windows, but the web server that is produced by Microsoft is IIS. And in previous versions, before version 6, Microsoft really had some problems with security in IIS. There were some very widely attacked successfully and widely publicized security vulnerabilities. IIS 6 is a complete re-architecture, and since IIS 6 is released with Windows Server 2003, there hasn't been a single critical security vulnerability that's released. So IIS 6 is solid. I'm going to show you some tricks that you can do with IIS that are interesting, specifically as they pertain to PHP. The other thing that I want to note is that IIS 6 is really well tuned to integrate our web application security. But right now, the doing that sort of supposes that you're an ASP.NET developer. So you can use forms-based security in PHP on Windows, just like you could in any other language. And we can use either the LDAP extensions or the Comma.NET APIs to get to the native Windows authentication mechanisms. But one of the really interesting things that's coming with the next version of IIS, IIS version 7, is a unified security model. So you'll be able to have ASPX pages, which is the extension for ASP.NET files, PHP files, Perl files, whatever file type that you want can live in a single virtual directory, and they'll all be be controlled by the same authentication mechanism. So, for example, I could have a PHP application, but I wanted to use an ASP.NET page for my authentication, and IIS would determine when I requested that PHP page whether or not I was already an authenticated user, and if I wasn't, redirect me to the ASP.NET page, or vice versa. IIS 7 will offer some really interesting development platform independent methods to unify authorization and authentication. So that's what IIS is. Can you get IIS 6 without buying the server OS? Susan, I'm not exactly sure what you mean. IIS 6 comes with Visual Studio 2003. IIS 5 is installable on Windows XP. Right? So you're not going to run a server off Windows XP. So some of the stuff that you get with IIS 6 sort of you don't miss running on Windows XP. I'm running the demos today on Windows XP. So the IIS stuff that I'm going to show you will be on IIS version 5 on Windows XP. So. Let's actually go do that. I'm going to tour around and we'll show you some of the stuff that I can do here. So I'm going to display a web page, and I'm just going to make sure that you folks can see this. So this is my blog, but what I want to show you is I've got, first thing I'm going to do is go to, this is just a call to PHP info. Notice that in this instance, I'm running PHP 4.42, right? And I'm using CGI Fast CGI. Fast CGI is an option we're going to talk about in a little bit. This just shows me all the stuff that's turned on. But the other interesting thing is I have another directory called PHP 5, and if we run PHP info from that directory, you'll notice I'm running PHP 5.12, the latest version. Right? So both on the same machine, right? These are both running against localhost. So, and just for giggles, I'll show you another version. I'm running this other third-party implementation of PHP called Philander, which I'm going to talk about in some detail, all on the same machine at the same time. So one of the things that's sort of been a little frustrating for me with the move to PHP 5 is that I love all the new object-oriented and data access features that are in PHP 5, but some of the applications that I want to use don't aren't PHP 5 compatible. So I want to do work in PHP 5, but I also particularly 5.1 because of the new data access stuff. But some of the code that I want to work with doesn't run on PHP 4 like I've been playing with Sugar CRM. So on in IIS, there's a management console, and I can specify on a per application directory what runtime I want to interpret those pages. So if we go into IIS management, you notice that if I look at websites, now I'm going to supersize this a little bit. Now, one of the interesting things about IIS 6 is that in IIS 5, this is an application pool, and I have a single application pool for all my applications. But in IIS 6, you can define separate application pools, and you can specify on the application pool level what you want the runtime processor to be. The other thing you can do is you can set specific security, you can set specific resource limits, so you can really have sort of performance control at a granular level by using multiple application pools. That's in IIS 6, which is on 2003. In this case, you notice that I've got these two directories, and how I specify which version of PHP that I want to use. You notice that this is an ASP.NET directory, but I'm not going to be using ASP. I'm specifying a mapping, and I'm saying for my PHP file extensions, PHP, PHP 3, PHP HTML, I want to use the installation of PHP that is version 5.12. And the only caveat here is that normally when you install PHP, it creates the PHP ini file in the Windows directory. If you want to set this up on Windows to use multiple versions at the same time, you install a version, install it into a named directory because the default will be just standard PHP. So let me show you where I've done that. So you choose a named directory instead of the default. So in this case, I have the PHP 5 directory, and notice that I've copied the PHP ini file out of the Windows directory and into the local directory, because it turns out that PHP will actually look for the ini file in the local directory before it looks in the Windows directory. And then in PHP 4, I've done the same thing. And I have all the extensions installed here. Right, so I've set up a PHP 4 directory as well. Now, as a caveat, another thing that you might want to do is for whichever version that you want to run by default, you want to leave that version of the PHP ini file in the Windows directory. Because here in IIS, as you noticed, I'm specifying that for this directory, I want this to be the PHP runtime that gets used. This only works because I've created an application. Notice this designation here. So I specified that this is an ASP.NET application, even though it's not going to be interpreted by ASP.NET, it's going to be interpreted by PHP. So I also left the PHP ini file in the Windows directory so that by default, any place that I use PHP where I haven't specifically configured it to be an IIS understood directory, it will use PHP 4. So that's sort of a cool way to be able to put to run multiple instances of PHP. The other thing you can do, by the way, is although certainly Microsoft loves it best if you use Microsoft SQL Server. If you use MySQL, MySQL has some of the same compatibility problems between the 4.1 version and the 5.0 version. and you can run multiple versions of MySQL on the same box as well, just by assigning them to different ports. So I'm going to answer a couple questions here. So Jason asks, why on earth would I want to use PHP with IIS? Well, there are lots of reasons that I would want to use PHP with IIS. So among them are the integrated authentication mechanism with Windows, which means I can do integrated authentication to Active Directory. You also get a lot of operational instrumentation by default. So if you're running a site that needs to be highly secured, then you have automatic information gathering through the Windows event logs, management through the Windows performance monitors. If you're using an operation center, you can use MOM. I mean, there are a lot of reasons. Some of the other reasons include that using IIS makes it easier for me to bridge the COM to .NET gap. I'm not preaching at you to abandon things that are working for you. I'm just hopefully giving you some options if you're deploying on Windows. Some of the things you might be able to do. Roberto asks, is there some information on setting what PHP version to use? It depends on what you're doing. PHP 5 has really full support for object-oriented constructs, whereas PHP 4X had support for classes, but not really full support for object orientation. So my feeling is if you can use PHP 5, then do it. But there are some applications that you might want to use out of the box that don't run yet on Windows. On PHP 5. Depends on what you need. Ron asks, how do you tell which version of IIS you're running? If you're running on Windows XP, it's IIS 5. If you're running on Windows 2003, it's IIS 6. If you're running on Windows 2000, it's IIS 5. Let's see. Omega asks, forgetting about deployment, how can I possibly afford to learn, test, and develop for IIS? I want to learn and get good at ASP.NET, but Linux, Apache, and PHP are free to go to. Well, so I'm glad you asked. So if you go to joan.net, you'll see a couple things. So first of all, obviously Windows is a commercial product. You got to have Windows to do this. But relative to the rest of the stack, Microsoft now has free development tools and a free version of Microsoft SQL Server. So if you go to Microsoft.com/express, you can download Visual Web Developer, which is for ASP.NET, also Visual Studio, C# Express, J#, C++, and Visual Basic, as well as SQL Express. They're free versions. Right? So that's a way to get you started, and they're not junk versions. If you download them and play with them, you'll find out that they're really pretty functional. They're really pretty functional. So that's how you can get started without having to spend a bunch of money up front. Those products will be supported in web hosting environments. So you'll be able to, if you want to get a $10 a month hosting account, you'll be able to do that. And we've gotten pretty aggressive at coming up with hosting pricing structures that will work in comparison with the open source equivalents. So Bill says, I thought you said that Visual Studio 2003 gives you IIS 6 also. No, Windows Server 2003 gives you IIS 6, but not Visual Studio. Charles asks, I hear there are performance and security issues with PHP on Windows versus running on Linux, So separating the two, from a security perspective, there are no more security concerns running PHP on Windows as running on Linux. If you leave security holes in your PHP code, those vulnerabilities will be there either way. There are some performance concerns with PHP on Windows, and I'm going to address those as we move forward a little bit. Andy asks, am I using the CGI installer from PHP.net for your installs? Yes, I am, although I've also used the, on this machine, I've also used the iSAPI versions. I'm currently running the CGI versions. I personally haven't experienced the performance problems with the iSAPI versions that that a lot of people talk about, and I'm in the process of acquiring hardware to do some comparative analysis of both the performance of CGI versus iSAPI PHP on Windows, as well as comparing the fast CGI version to PHP on Linux. So keep your eye on my blog, and I'll let you know. Okay, so I'm going to, let's see, I'm just checking time. I want to move forward a little bit and remember that this is going to be a two-part session, so I'll get back to some more questions here in a minute. So one more, couple more things that I want to show you specific to Windows, and then I'll go back in and answer some more questions. An interesting sort of side project is that there's now a fully managed code implementation of PHP. And I'm not, and I'm telling you this, I'm not saying that's the way that you want to go. So there are some real advantages to using Xen's version of PHP. But for certain things, it's kind of cool that there is a .NET version of PHP now that's available from the folks at Folanger. And there's also another sort of interesting thing for PHP developers on Windows is that there's this sort of compiler per se for not web apps but regular Windows apps to run on Windows, but that are written in PHP. So let's just take a quick look at those. So I showed you this before. So this is on my local machine, PHP info running in a virtual directory where this is managed code. So this is it's PHP, but it runs in managed code just like ASP.NET does, and this over on the PHP.net site is this is a version of PHP DB that's running in managed code going against the Microsoft SQL Server database. I've installed this. I don't have it running on this machine, but I've got this installed and running. I've got this installed and running, and it was really easy to set up. There was nothing special about it. So it's kind of a cool option to be able to run PHP as managed code if you choose to. The other thing that's kind of cool is this thing called WinBinder. So if you're, you know, if you're really sort of committed to the PHP syntax, there's this thing called WinBinder, and you can find it at hypervisual.com. And I'll post all these links for me. But let me show you just the sample app that gets installed. This application is written in PHP code, right? So here it is. It's a, you know, it's a Windows client, right? Rich client. If we look at the source code though, it's PHP code. So kind of cool. So there are options on Windows that are specific to Windows. Okay, before we talk about performance, I want to go in a couple more questions. Brandon says, does WinBinder need to be initially run from a server originally to create the application? Nope. It's local, so you can just run it on your desktop. There are pretty good tutorials if you go out there and have a look at WinBinder. If you search for it and you can't find it, I'll post the links on my blog later today. Mark Julian asked, what are the advantages of running PHP as managed code? It sort of depends on what you want to do. I mean, the nice thing about it running as managed code is that, as we're going to find out in tomorrow's session, there are some lightweight proxy boundaries that need to be crossed when calling code across from the PHP world to the .NET world. And the ability to run PHP as managed code, if you're going to be doing what would otherwise be a lot of interop, can improve performance. But you sort of have to write tailored code, and to be honest, I don't know that Folanger has been sort of tried and proven in the production world yet. So just an option. Ben Miller asks, what tool do I use to write PHP code? I'm a little bit of a tool hound, so I shift stuff around, but I'll show you since you asked. I'm gonna my default code, my default IDE, you'll see it comes up, it's starts, it's a little slow to start, but as you notice, this End IDE, I think is cool. It's a commercial product, so it's not free. But this is the one that I tend to use a lot. There's a free one, though, that I use that I think is really slick as well. It is PHP Designer. The link to PHP Designer is on my blog. MP Software is the company that makes it, but it's not mpsoftware.com. This is a free application. It tells me there's a new version. I'll just start this up so you can see what the IDE looks like. So this is, you know, slick IDE. It doesn't have a whole lot of like builder functions built in, and it doesn't have code completion and stuff like this End IDE, but for free, this is just an awesome IDE. The other one that I use, to be honest, is HTML Kit. It's meant to be an HTML editor, but it has an extensible architecture, so there are a lot of plugins that are for PHP, and I get a lot of productivity out of that as well. So those are sort of the tools that I choose. The other one that's interesting is that there is a PHP plugin for Visual Studio. So if you're a Visual Studio user, and there are plugin versions for Visual Studio 2002, 2003, and 2005, I'll just show you just quickly. But there's a plugin. It's VSPHP. I'm not sure if it's linked on my blog or not, but I'll put it up this afternoon. Let's say create a new project. This is really sort of JCX Software that created this. It's really sort of a cool thing that they've done, because as long as I can select I can create a PHP project, and it has all the built-in help you'd expect. It has syntax assistance, lets you debug PHP applications from right here in Visual Studio, which is really an accomplishment, I think, because they work with the real version of PHP, not the Flanger managed code version. So, there are several good ones, PHP development environments. Dreamweaver is pretty good. NewSphere's PHP Edge is pretty good. Komodo from ActiveState is good as well. And cool thing about Komodo is it supports other languages like Python. Let's go. I'm going to go back into the question manager, and let's see. Do I know of a PHP editor that interfaces with Visual Source Safe? So sure. So if you use VSPHP, that runs in the context of Visual Studio, and I don't have Visual Source Safe installed on this on this box. But if you use VSPHP, that's just happy to work with Visual Source Safe. I think it's Sabine asked, what do I think about Dreamweaver and PHP for developing PHP or ASP? I think Dreamweaver is a fine tool for my ASP.NET work. Obviously, I use Visual Studio for my PHP work. I prefer to use the Zen Studio, but you know, Dreamweaver is a very strong offering. To answer Chris's question, if I use Zen Studio to write PHP, does it have anything to do with Flanger? And no, that's completely separate. And I just wanted to show you Flanger. It's something that I'm playing with. But when I write PHP code, I generally do not write managed PHP code. I use the Zen implementation of PHP. Al points out that there's also a PHP plugin for Eclipse. I like it. In fact, there's a lot of folks are commenting about their favorite IDE. So what I'll do is I'll actually post sometime today or tomorrow on my blog like a whole list of the PHP tools that I've played with, both commercial and free ones, just give you some impressions just as a sort of a central repository. Mentions in those IDEs, those are run commands. Some of those will allow you to run PHP code without going through an IDE. DW asks, is Visual Studio 2005 Standard Edition good enough, or do we need to pay for professional version? So, I mean, here's my take on versions. To be honest, obviously I work for Microsoft. I have full access to all of their tools. A lot of times when I'm doing my web work, I use the free version. It's cool. It's fast. If I don't have to do things like, you know, complex data binding or unit testing or, you know, code coverage, that sort of thing. It's great to have the sort of top end, but if you're not going to use the features, why spend money for stuff that you're not going to use? So, you know, sure, you know, it start out, if you've got standard, use standard and see if you outgrow it. Just, go to the Visual Studio website and see what the metrics is. There's no reason to spend money on features that you're not going to use. Okay, so to this performance question. So there are a couple things to consider about the specifics of PHP on Windows. The default model historically for PHP has been implementation as a CGI application. Now, CGI on Linux, as all Unix-like operating systems, is relatively performance-friendly. I mean, whenever you create an instance of a CGI application, you actually have to spawn a process. Now, Windows, which grew out of the VMS operating systems, took a different approach than the Unix world. So on Unix, creating a process is not so inordinately expensive. But creating, spawning threads is I won't say as expensive, but is proportionally less expensive. The choice that the VMS and the Windows guys made was that spawning a process causes a hard page fault, which means that spawning a new process on Windows is extremely resource expensive, although spawning additional threads is not expensive at all. So because each creation of an instance of a CGI application causes a new process to be generated on Windows, it's very expensive. So how that problem has been solved on Windows is ISAP, the Internet Server API, and Netscape actually had, when Netscape had strong offerings in the server space, they had the NS API, which are both derivations of what was called SAPI or the Server API. Now, There are some things that are problematic here. So the ISAPI extension, I've had pretty good results from it, and I'm still formulating my benchmarks. But even the folks at Zend tell me it's really not ready for large scale production at this point. And hopefully there'll be workarounds for this. So that's sort of under development. Now, before I came to Microsoft, I owned a consulting company, and all we did was performance-based consulting. And I'm a big fan of architecting and building really performant applications, but I'm also a fan of not solving problems that you're solving problems that you haven't had, that you haven't proven you're going to have yet. The solution is this thing called Fast CGI. So Fast CGI is a third-party product. I'll show it to you in the browser here. Fast CGI, so it's just fastcgi.com. Now the downside is that right now they don't distribute a 5.12 version of PHP for Fast CGI. So yeah, the PHP has to be recompiled to use Fast CGI. Although my understanding is that the folks at Zend are working with Fast CGI technology specifically for the Zend platform for Windows, which will be coming. So there are some opportunities there. The other thing is that here's the whole look stuff that you can do. Another thing that you can do from a performance perspective is think about if you understand the overhead of object creation, you can architect applications that are pretty clever in creating object instances and then using those object instances to accelerate performance and then return the necessary results back to your PHP code. So, for example, if I had an area of processing that had to be particularly performant, I could fire that up in a COM or a .NET object, spawn off multiple threads. It's a compiled instance. I could get the performance that I needed there, and then just pass the results after the processing back to my PHP application and offset some of those performance differences. And that, for me, is sort of some of the clever and interesting architectural problems that we want to look to solve. So look for the Zen platform. They have a product also called the Winabler, which is specifically about accelerating the performance on Windows. So let's look at some of the integration options, and there are many. I mean, one of the things that I really love about PHP programmers is that PHP programmers tend to be a whole lot more pragmatic than they are religious. And I just love to see some of the crafty solutions that PHP developers come up with for problems. So here are just some of the ways that you can do integration. Default mechanism for state management in PHP uses the file system. You can certainly have PHP and .NET applications that read and write from the file system. You can use SMTP as a sort of a message queuing system that works pretty well. X500, WDDX is particularly interesting. There's native support built into PHP for WDDX. WDDX is an application data exchange format that was pioneered by the folks at Macromedia, and there are implementations for ASP, PHP, ASP.NET, ColdFusion, you name it. Microsoft SQL Server, you can talk to easily through from PHP, as well as sort of whatever your database repository is. XML, of course, is sort of a lingua franca of the federated logic, and we're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow. LDAP, a lot of people think of LDAP as only a authentication repository, but certainly with the Active Directory implementation, it can be used to share other kinds of information. Sockets, programming at the sockets level is sort of a little bit more bits and bolts than lots of us like to get to, but PHP has support for sockets programming built right in, so that's kind of cool, as does .NET. RSS is interesting. We think about RSS as a blogging technology, but if you think about it, RSS is really just an XML-based communications mechanism, so we can consume RSS that's published in one technology from another technology. XML RPC, so this bears a little detail, I guess, that there, in the early days of web services, XML RPC and document literal were the two sort of opposing web service formats. So document literal SOAP web services have sort of won that battle, but there's still a place for XML RPC because XML RPC calls are a little bit more lightweight. So you can, you can do inter-process communication, process not from a CPU perspective, but from an applications perspective. So I could use XML RPC to call the .NET code from my PHP code and even vice versa. And then, of course, PHP has its own C-based extensibility mechanism, so you can write your own Peckle extension. When I show you some of the projects that I'm sort of planning for the next year or so, the one I'm probably going to start with is I want to write a Peckle extension specifically for Active Directory because there are some issues with using the generic LDAP one. So the first one that we're going to sort of look at in code is HTTP form tricks and cookie tricks. And I mean, these sort of might seem like sort of trivial interoperability opportunities, but this is the core of web technology. So in the latter half of the interop demos, we're going to be looking at real sort of binary interoperability. But one of the things that I've been doing is adding, building ASP.NET functionality and calling it from my PHP Nuke applications. And the web technology, the use of HTTP headers and cookies, that's what the web is built on. And one of the things that PHP developers already know that lots of ASP.NET developers don't know is how this stuff works under the covers. On the ASP.NET side, we have this forms-based event-driven mechanism. So lots of web developers that use Visual Studio and ASP.NET don't have to discover what the underlying technology that supports this stuff is. So last integration options, Chris can build your own. When I last talked to Andy at Zend, the Windows version of PHP was built using C++ version 6, Visual C++ version 6, and since it's open source, you can add your own additions, create sort of a custom implementation if you like to. Here's some of the stuff that I'm either working on or kicking around doing, and if any of this stuff has got interest to you, I'd love to get your feedback for, level of interest, features, that sort of thing. And the one I tend to want to start with is the Native Active Directory API, so that I would do that in the form of a Paco extension. The other one that I'm interested in is a seamless session state bridge, so you can have a platform-independent session state bridge. So you can have, PHP app running on a Windows box or even on a Linux box sharing session state objects with an ASP.NET application. So before we hop in and do the last demos, I'm just going to show you my blog where I'll post the rest of the resources, and then I'm going to ask a couple of quick questions. So Ryan asks, is it possible to share session variables among ASP.NET and PHP? Not using the sort of out-of-the-box session state management, but it's not that difficult to wire up. And I guess since you asked, before I answer more questions, I'll actually hop in and we'll do a little bit of that. So let's see. I have a couple of little apps that I'll show you. I'm going to go to localhost. Now, so I've got this. I'll show you the demo and we'll look at the code quickly. I have this do login. Right, this is regular PHP code. So let me hop over there and we'll look at the PHP code. So for those of you that were asking me about Dreamweaver, you can see I actually have Dreamweaver installed on this box. And we'll look at the login page. I'm just going to open it in context because it's quick and easy. Context is a free editor. All right. So notice here, just PHP HTML code, nothing special. All the postback mechanism is implemented here in PHP, which you get automatically in ASP.NET, but that's all there is to it. But notice that the form action is a ASP.NET page. So the action of my PHP-based form is an ASP.NET application. And then if I go in and enter some data, I can do the submission, and it'll call my ASP.NET application. It has to do just-in-time compilation because this is the first time this has been run since I started the machine. But I'm picking that up on the ASP.NET side. Right? And that's, let's quickly have a look at that code. Right, so that's not a session object per se. That's a form submission. But by using form submission and the data that gets passed between forms, we can use either visible forms or hidden forms. And access that information from one to the next. Let's see if I can open that solution. We'll just look at the page then instead. Right. And this is all it takes here in sort of simple code. Right, here's my form, run at server, right, and I'm just saying output, grab the request form, here's the posted element that I'm interested in. Right? So you can pass data back and forth. Now, one of the ways that ASP.NET handles a lot of this sort of state management for you under the covers for things like view state and some of the validation information is by using hidden form fields, so we can certainly do that as well. The other opportunity is to use cookies. And again, you want to be sort of a little bit careful about you know what you put in cookies. Generally, you don't want to put any application specific information. You just want context information, so something identifies the user and some session like things like session duration, for example. But here's a here's an example, just regular HTML code, which means that this can be PHP, any sort of PHP application. And this is just going to, here's my PHP code where I'm going to set this cookie. And then in my .NET application, I'm going to fetch the cookie. And this is sort of the low-hanging fruit, right? In tomorrow's session, we're going to look at the binary, the binary interop. So while this is coming up, somebody asked, why would you use a PHP form and an ASP.NET form action? What's the advantage? Well, the advantage is that you want to do stuff on the ASP.NET side, right? So remember, ASP.NET is .NET. So one of the things that's sort of tough is that, in order to do this stuff in sequence, I had to break it across two different time slots. But when we look at the .NET stuff, you see that there's lots of systems programming that the .NET framework makes really easy to do. So you're a PHP programmer, you're working in PHP, but perhaps you want to do something like you want to verify authentication against Active Directory, for example, because that's the infrastructure in your enterprise. And that's really easy to do in .NET, but not so easy to do directly in PHP through the LDAP extension. Right, so here's the other half of the example. Really easy code. Just grab the cookie object from the request for the item that gets sent. So just standard sort of web mechanisms, but that make it easy to go across the PHP ASP boundary. Right, so remember that code was automatically called. We set the cookie. Now if we go over to the ASP.NET side, that's the text from the cookie that we set. Right, so back and forth pretty easily. These are really simple code snippets, but I'll post them on my blog as well. So that brings us up to WinDNA and COM, and this is, so tomorrow what we're going to cover in this session, we're just about out of time for today, we're going to cover how to access COM objects from PHP, how to write COM wrappers for things like the Windows API in COM, I'm going to use VB6, and then we're going to talk about .NET COM interop and how to create .NET objects and expose them for our PHP code. Bill, thanks for commenting. One of the listeners says, we do a lot of ASP to PHP to .NET communications passing form fields. They use it for adding new functionality without having to rewrite their existing PHP application. So that's cool. It's at the top of the hour, and Jeff, if you want to hop in and do the wrap up for this session, and then I'll take a few minutes if we have them after to answer some more questions. And I'd like to encourage everybody to come to tune in for tomorrow's session, where we'll get to the meat of COM and DNA interop.
Yeah, sure. Let me get to that slide here. All right, thanks, Joe. I'd like to take a minute here to share some additional resources while Joe's looking at some more questions. And just in case you haven't, you can ask a question by typing your question into the field next to the Ask button in your question manager, and then simply click Ask. And I will be providing a survey for today's event in just a moment. When you see that, please take a few minutes to complete the survey. Feedback and comments that you provide ultimately allow us to create a better webcast for you, so your feedback is greatly appreciated. I got a couple of URLs I'd like to give out. If you are looking for upcoming or previously live webcasts, maybe you missed one of Joe's fine webcasts in the earlier days, there's a URL for you. If you have webcast content ideas, perhaps you'd like to see specific content developed for a future webcast, there's a URL for you. And of course, today's webcast was presented using Microsoft Office Live Meeting, and you can go here to download a free 14-day trial. And by filling out today's webcast evaluation, you're automatically entered to win this 40-gigabyte Creative Zen Ultra MP3 player. And here is the webcast evaluation. Please follow the links provided in your interface. And again, take a few moments to complete today's webcast evaluation. Comments are very valuable. And with that, I'll hand it back to Joe to cover any questions or add anything else that he's got. Joe?
Thanks, Jeff. So a couple more questions that I want to answer that have come in a queue here. So let's see. Somebody asked, why do I need two different versions? What's the difference between PHP 4 and 5? So the reason you need two different versions is PHP 5.1 or 5, all the 5 versions, but PHP 5 is the one that has the full, really rich object-oriented support, and the 5.1 genre has the PDO stuff. So there's a really interesting evolution that's coming out of the think tank at Zend. But there are some applications. So there's not full forward compatibility. So there are applications that run under version 4 of PHP that don't run under version 5. So on my development machine, I want to be able to do my new work in PHP 5, but I've got some stuff running that hasn't been converted yet, and it's fairly large code bases of stuff that I didn't write. So that's why I want to be able to run both. John asks, says, PHP support for Calm was experimental for the longest time. Do I think it's really production quality now? Yeah, I'm in the process of preparing benchmarks, but I've had great luck with it, and I've got a lot of customers that are using it, and it looks really really promising. So keep your eyes on my blog. As soon as when I have the benchmarks ready to go, I'll definitely post them. Gene asks, am I concerned about Oracle taking over Zend? So I don't know where that comes from. I certainly haven't heard of anything that Oracle is going to take over Zend. I know Oracle has a partnership with Zend, as does IBM, as does Hewlett Packard, but I'm not worried about that. I know the guy at Zend, you never know what's going to happen in business, but. Should I use PHP to access my MySQL databases on Linux, or is the ODBC layer in .NET as efficient? It depends on where you're working, but I guess if you're a PHP developer and you're running MySQL databases on Linux, then I would use the direct provider. Let's see. What installer options are available for deploying PHP apps to Linux and Windows? It's pretty much drag and drop, so not a whole lot of specific stuff. Let's see. What would be the best tool for PHP development with some users in our company on a Mac and some on Windows? The Zen Studio. It's based on Java, so it runs on both platforms. It's kind of slow, but it has good functionality, and it is cross-platform. Which versions of Visual Studio are supported with PHP? Just 2005 or earlier also? Actually, all versions, the 2002 version, 2003 version, and 2005 version are all supported. Let's see. Are there specific directions for extensions for Active Directory use? No, there is an LDAP. There is an LDAP extension. I'm working on the specific Active Directory one. And let's see. So I guess that's pretty much the questions for today. If you have any other questions you think of, please post them on my blog or send me an email. And hopefully you'll all tune in tomorrow, and I'll see you again then.
Okay, well, I'd like to extend a special thank you to Joe for presenting, and thanks to everyone for attending this webcast. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's MSDN webcast. Thanks again for joining us. You may now disconnect from the audio portion of this conference.